Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I am joined by Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. Coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry.
So the 2019 season is over. 16-4 for the Tigers. Had hoped to be playing in the Final Four this weekend, but gave a good account of themselves in the game against Boston College. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the season. We'll talk about the seniors. But I think we should start with the first Princeton women's lacrosse player ever to be named to the U.S. Lacrosse Hall of Fame, Rachel Becker DiCecco. And honestly, I thought she was already in. But
really? Well, she's in the Eastern Pennsylvania Hall of Fame, and we're just so excited for Rachel. You know, she just had a phenomenal career at Princeton and then with the U.S. team, and you know, the only defender ever to win the Tuaratón.
Male or female.
Male or female, the Honda Award recipient as a senior, two-time first-team All-American, just what else can you say about her? She's just a wonderful person and was a phenomenal player. I'm so happy for her and her family.
What made her so good? What made her so much different than other defenders who, you know, those awards, the Tuaratón and things like that, they always go to either goalies or people who score goals. Obviously,
yeah.
She's the only defender. What?
Yeah, she was a great shutdown defender. I mean, she was a lefty, which really helped. You know, a lot of the top scoring attackers were righties, and just having your stick on the top side as they come around the crease, she played a lot of low defense for us. She was also a great takeaway kid. So she had the position to take away angles and draw charges from attackers, but she also had a great stick check and could read the play for interceptions. And back in those days, we were playing what we called our storm defense, where we were forcing teams to their what you called back then their weak hand and sending early doubles. And she was great at that, and you know, getting some blocks on passes, reading the ball for interceptions, and getting stick checks. So she was just tough. I mean, physically, she was a strong presence. She was fast, and she could neutralize some of the top attackers of the day.
So three Princeton alums getting in the Hall of Fame in this class, along with Rachel B. Ryan Boyle and Matt Strebel. I was actually surprised that, one, I thought she was already, it must have already been in the Hall of Fame, but beyond that, that no other players played for you. Now, you are in the Hall of Fame, but that no other player has played here, given all of the success that the team has had through the years, has gotten into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think we'll see more. I think on the women's side, so many of the players who have gotten into the Hall of Fame have had, you know, storied careers on the U.S. team. And we've certainly had, you know, a number of players who've played on the U.S. team, but not as many as some of the other programs. And I think that's been a differentiator. I think now they're starting to look at phenomenal college careers, like I feel like they've done for some time on the men's side. They're starting to do that a little bit on the women's side as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, a number of other Tigers inducted in the next 5-10 years.
I mean, I think Strebel, when he, you know, Boyle was clearly a great college player. Strebel was a very good college player, but he was never first-team All-America college player.
Yeah.
But what really, he became the best middie in the world, and he won 3 MLL championships and 2 world championships, and now that there's a professional women's league that's sort of reaching a viable stage, that might help as well.
Yeah, absolutely, that might help.
So congratulations to Rachel. Have you heard her? I'm assuming you've watched some of the games after the fact. Obviously, you can't watch them live, but have you heard her do color commentary?
Oh, yeah, I have, and it's, you know, it's been really cool to have
her.
Good. She is really good. I was at a WPLL game last year, and she called me up into the booth. She was doing color commentary for that game, and I sat with her and added a few things, and I was really impressed with her. I'm like, wow, Rachel, you're really good at that.
Both she and Krista Samaras are very good at it.
Yeah, they are. It's been awesome to have two alums who, you know, provided that for all of our broadcasts this year.
And did the Ivy League tournament games.
Absolutely.
They're both very, very good. So let's talk about the way the season ended at Boston College. You know, BC is clearly a great team. They have talent everywhere. And I thought, minus the final score was 17-12, and there was a 5-0 run over about 3 minutes early in the second half. And
yeah.
The first half was great, back and forth, toe-to-toe. 7-6 BC at the half, 7-7 after the first goal by Tess D'Orsi of the second half. And then the quick run by BC, and
yeah,
you know, team never gave up, fought hard to the end, but lost by 5. And that 5-goal run is obviously the differentiator, and that's really what teams do. And it's often what your team does to other teams.
Right.
What do you take away from that game?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot to take away from that game. You know, first, just gratitude for being in it and for everything that the team did, how hard they worked all year long, how much belief they had to bring us to that point where we're one game away from the Final Four. And then a little bit of motivation coming out of that game. And we know if we do want to get to that level, we have to be able to not just compete against those types of teams, but beat those types of teams. And, you know, we've played two of the teams now that are in the Final Four this year, and we weren't able to come away with a win. And, you know, I think BC, they were just the extra possessions on the draw made all the difference in that game. I think they outdrew us 21-10, but two or three of the possessions that we got, they were able to quickly get a double and get the ball back. So it was more like, I think, 13 or 14 extra possessions. And, you know, we had our opportunities. We had a couple of open looks in front of the cage that we just weren't able to bury. Their, you know, hit the post. Their goalie made a great save a few times. I think if we had been able to get one of those looks in during that stretch, it might have been a different feel.
I think BC overwhelms a lot of teams with their ability to win draws. And I felt like your team, you know, the game got off to a terrible start. Like, it was the worst case scenario. They won the draw, they scored. They won the draw, they scored. Yeah. And, you know, it was 2-0 before Princeton touched the ball. And yeah. Yet it was 6-4 Princeton and 7-7 at one point. I mean, I think your team really made up for some of that by playing really hard and with a lot of intensity.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, I thought the first half, I think we really had them on the ropes a little bit. I think they were like, wow.
Called timeout.
Right. We weren't quite expecting this. You know, they called timeout. And, you know, they were able to get, you know, they had those couple runs. They had the three quick goals right at the end of the first half on just some beautiful plays that they set up for Puzo, you know, some out of the face guard. And, you know, you got to give them credit for that. They are a dynamic team, and they really executed incredibly well, you know, getting those feeds in and getting those shots off under a lot of defensive pressure. But as you said, we did keep fighting to the end. I thought that was a strength of our team. But, I think we could have been a little more resilient in that period where they got five in a row. So I think that's something that we have to really learn from. And we've showed that resilience in so many games this year. But, you know, I think there was a little change in the energy in that five-goal run in the second half.
But that's what they do. I mean, that's, you know, they're relentless. And the other thing about them is, you know, with Apuzzo in the draw, she's amazing. I mean, she's got to be up there with many of the best you've ever seen taking the draw.
Absolutely. Not just, you know, to be able to draw and get it to herself, but how she tracks the ball on the ground and beats everybody for the ball. And if she's in a scrum, you know, they're just able to just flick it out to somebody else who's waiting. Their awareness on the draw, their competitiveness, you know, I think that is really where they did win the game.
So, I mean, I was watching the game, and every time there was a loose ball and she was going near it, like, most times when you see a situation like that, your sense is, okay, the ball's loose. Somebody's got to go pick it up. Your sense with her was, oh, geez, she's going to pick it up again. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like mechanical. It's like, you know, she doesn't miss the ball. It's almost a little bit like watching Zach Curry go after loose balls. I mean, she was just so good at it, and that was such a big difference in the game. A couple of things about it. One is, the weather really cooperated finally, so you got to play on a nice day. And one,
maybe it would have been better if it had been pouring rain. That seemed to work for us lately.
But one thing that it was, I don't know, I forgot to look at what the attendance was, but it was packed there. There were people standing around, and you know, it was just a great atmosphere for a game. Is that one of the best atmospheres that you've seen?
I thought it was a great atmosphere for the game. There were a lot of people who came out. I thought we had a really nice contingent of fans from Princeton, not just families, but alums and other local fans from the area who came out. And of course, you know, BC did. When you're playing in a quarterfinal game and two teams are trying to get to the Final Four, there's just so much excitement that's generated around that.
I don't know if you noticed this because you were coaching, but at one point there was a Let's Go Eagles chant, and the Princeton fans started a Let's Go Tigers chant and sort of tried to drown them out, and it was pretty 50-50 on them. Did you even notice that?
I really didn't. I have to be honest, but that's awesome.
You know, it was the Let's Go Eagles, and then all of a sudden it was Let's Go Tigers, and it balanced them out at the very least. So the season ends 16-4. You had an 11-game winning streak heading into that game, another Ivy League championship, the sixth in a row, an Ivy League tournament championship, that's 5 in 10 years of the event. Here's the thing, I don't even know if you noticed this. I didn't notice this all year until the end, but did you know what the school record for goals in a season is and how many goals you had this year?
No. 291
is the record. Uh-huh. 290.
Ooh, we were one shy.
And not only
was
that,
was that in 2017? Did we score that many? When was that?
No, I think that goes back further, actually.
Really?
And but what's amazing to me is you must have had, I don't know, that I can off the top of my head probably think of 25 goals that were disallowed, maybe more.
Seriously, including a couple up at BC. So
yeah, Kyla Sears had 10 by herself. But,
yeah.
What grade do you give? Do you give grades to seasons or anything like that? You know, I know the goal is to get to the national championship and to be in the Final Four, and you'd love to be playing this week, but, you know, ran into a team that's really one of the strongest teams that's been around for the last 10 years or so. And
yeah, I mean, I'm not into grading the year, but I thought it was a great year for our team. I think I probably talked about before, we had a rough fall, we had a lot of injuries, and we just weren't finding our flow. And the kids worked really hard over the month of January when they were on their own to get themselves into a good place to start preseason in February. And, you know, we had added Florida and Stony Brook to an already tough schedule, so to come out of that with 16 wins and so many wins against really highly competitive teams, I think it's hard to look at the season as anything but a success.
So, I mean, one of the things that really sort of stands out to me is from the trip last weekend wasn't so much the game, which was a great event, but the night before the game when the team was at the Dorsey's house. And it was just a very relaxing, you know, the rain finally stopped. It turned into a really nice night. But I thought that was, like, just a great moment for a team that, you know, really seemed to like each other and had a really good, strong culture. And I think that played out on the field. But it was just great to see, like, you know, step away from the practice and step away from the game and step away from everything else and just to see them with each other and celebrating.
Yeah, playing some 2-on-2 basketball.
Got a little more intense than you would have hoped.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay.
Maybe. Don't get hurt.
Exactly. The cornhole and the spike ball, which is a favorite of our team. But whenever we can go to a family's house like that and just spend some relaxed time together, especially the night before a game, it's just so great for the team and the feeling. We have such a family feel around the program, and I think you really see that in those types of situations. When we were at Columbia the week before, we were at the Murphy's house the night before the Penn game as well. So, you know, that was pretty fun for us too.
And, you know, one last thing about the BC thing is that we talked a little bit about this during the course of the year, and I talked to, you know, several other people about it. Being the 7th or 8th seed is great because you got two home games.
Yeah.
It wasn't great because you had to play Maryland or Boston College in the quarterfinals. Now, the 3rd seed is North Carolina, who beat BC. And, of course, North Carolina has no day at the beach either. But, I'm thinking it'll be a Boston College-Maryland final like we sort of felt it might be all year.
Yeah.
Carolina beat them once.
Yeah. It's so interesting because Northwestern beat Maryland
too. Yeah, that's right. And that's their one loss.
Yeah, yeah, by a number of goals. And so it's so interesting that you have the top four seeds made it through and seeds 1 and 2 lost to three and four just a couple weeks ago in their conference championships for their, only losses. So it's going to be I really think almost anyone can win. I think that it will be Maryland if I have to make a pick.
So
they've
Boston
got a great
College goalie
and a great draw kid.
Yeah.
You know, so it might be the goaltending that makes the difference.
So I think I think Boston College and Maryland will both win in the semifinals. And I think Boston College is just so driven by what happened last year. That I'm a big believer in things like that. They felt that one got away from them, and they're such a senior dominant.
Well, the last
group.
2 years, really. I mean, they've had that experience the last 2 years. So, and they are very much a senior dominated group. It's going to be a great game, that's for sure.
A great weekend at Johns Hopkins.
Yeah.
So, with the season behind us, I know we've talked a lot about the seniors through the years, but let's just run through that group one more time as they leave. You know, I know that everybody has the word on the back of their shirts, but just if I give you each senior, just give me, you know, a word or two that describes them or just some memory or something like that. We'll start with Alex Argo.
Oh, Argo. Argo is just tough as nails. I mean, she's a total competitor. She's got a badass kind of a kid.
Noni Anderson.
Noni. I mean, is there anybody any faster than Noni? I mean, that kid is a worker, and she has, although she's got like this God-given speed, she has pushed herself like nobody else.
Allie Rogers,
a spark. I mean, she's our ankle breaker. She's so quick, and you know, I think she had her best year this year and scored so many key goals for us. One of the fastest and quickest kids on the team.
Catherine Hallett.
Hallett. Love Hallett. You know, she's just, how can you describe her? I mean, that kid, she plays with such emotion, which works for her and against her at times, but lightning fast, big smile, a real competitor, and just a fun kid, a lot of energy.
Julia Haney.
I love all these kids. Haney's a great kid. I mean, really did an awesome job for us this year, kind of quarterbacking that offense. Just a sweet kid, a nice kid. Really put in a lot of work and really happy for how she ended her career.
Did I say Izzy Mangan yet?
You didn't say Izzy, yeah.
I did say Izzy?
You did not say Izzy Mangan yet. So happy for that kid. Missed the first 2 years of her career due to, knee injuries and just came on so strong, brings such grit and energy to the field. And when she scored that hat trick
against Loyola,
I mean, you know, her smile, it just lifted everybody.
All right, so that was Argo, Anderson, Mangan.
I think we missed
Elizabeth
one.
Elizabeth George is who I left out.
Oh, you left out Georgie.
I saved her for the end.
Oh, my God, Georgie.
So I got everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Elizabeth George. And before you talk about Elizabeth George, did you see the NCAA Picture of the Week?
Wait, which one? Remind me.
It was Elizabeth George.
Oh, yeah, on the draw. Yeah, I did see that with the Puzo.
The person who should have smiled the most at that is Angie, the strength coach.
Yeah, totally.
She looked completely ripped in that.
Well, she is completely ripped. She is completely ripped. I mean, she's a power kid. I mean, she's so explosive, so determined. I mean, she's the kind of kid who she's always played her best down the stretch of the season as you're heading into playoffs and through playoffs. It's like she, at times she's just willed this team to victory. When we need something from her, she rises to the challenge.
All right, let me just make sure we got everybody again. It was Argo, Anderson, Mangan, Hallett, Haney,
Alex,
Rogers, and George.
That's it.
So we got everybody.
When you start going like that, you always get nervous.
Down, so that's the class of 2019 and four Ivy League championships, and you can't really ask more than that. And you'll miss them. That's a lot to replace. That's
yes,
a lot
it
of
is.
Goals. That's a lot of defense. That's a lot of starts. That's a lot of speed. It's a lot of experience. It's a lot of draw control.
Jerry, you're really making me feel good right now.
But, you know, it's also the nature of the beast.
And, absolutely.
And
we've got, it'll be great for our returners, to know that there's going to be open spots and that they can really make some improvements over the summer and be ready to come back and compete for those.
And how many incoming players?
We've got 9 in this class. It's a big class for us.
So 9 incoming, 7 going out. So that would... Let's do the math really quickly. So that's 31 that you'll have next
yep.
year. A lot to talk about as we get to the start of the 2020.
Yes.
Wow. I just want to thank you. This is our first year of actually doing this each week during the season. I thought it was pretty good. We got a lot of really good feedback from people who enjoy it and enjoy hearing directly from you. And it's a really good insight into the program. So I want to thank you for doing this each week.
I've enjoyed it.
And let's see, we can do maybe one over the summer. We could do a couple in the fall, and we'll be back next year.
Sounds great.
All right. So, well, Chris, thank you, and congratulations on another great year.
Thanks, Jerry.
And you got one of the other highlights of the year, you got your 400th win, 415 wins heading into next year.
You're good at math.
So 415 wins for Chris Saylor, a 16-4 record for the 2019 Tigers, another Ivy title, another Ivy League tournament title, 2 NCAA tournament wins, and then a really good performance against Boston College. We will see if either Chris or I are right about who's going to win. She has Maryland. I have Boston College. And with that, I just want to thank you for being with us each week.
Thanks, Jerry.
So for Princeton Women's Lacrosse Coach Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us each week on The Chris Saylor Show. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.